What up, everybody? Welcome to the corner. I'm Kel Dansby.
I'm Andreas Hill.
And we are two journalists who cover wrestling, boxing, and MMA, but we also love hip-hop. You may think those worlds don't blend, but we make it work. On today's show, we are reviewing WWE Battleground. We're also previewing Chicago's UFC on Fox card and the Kovalev fight for this weekend. But first, we have to talk about all the beef in hip-hop.
God damn.
In a second, in our drinks, we gonna have beef, yo, in a second, just because it's cool.
I mean, why not, right? Because you don't do the podcast. You don't write the show. Like, we got, like, Meek Mill writes your show. That's what happens.
Word up. You got a ghostwriter. They think, like, yo, Andres is funny on the show. Like, nah, he got a ghostwriter. He's like, paying me under the table.
I don't even know where to start. Do we start with Meek and Drake? Do we start with Young Thug and Lil Wayne? That shit? Where do we start?
Yo, we got to... You're lucky we don't start with Nicki and Taylor Swift.
That's real hip-hop beef right there.
That's where it's at. Taylor Swift was like, yo, Nicki, let me ether you real quick. And Taylor got hood cred, yo. She got Kendrick on the single. Taylor ain't soft no more.
Yeah, I mean, what is this? All over because Nicki didn't get nominated for a VMA? Don't you got enough awards already?
That could be one of the greatest beats ever. If really? Taylor Swift, she gets a Mike Will Made It beat, she throws Iggy on for a verse, that's dope. Right there.
That's not dope.
That's dope. That's crushing it. That's better than Drake and Meek Mill. There'll be no bars exchanged in Drake versus Meek Mill. But Taylor Swift, she could spit that hot fire.
You're wilding, dog. Like,
Taylor got it. I don't know why you're sleeping on Taylor Swift, yo. My money's on Taylor Swift in the Taylor Swift versus Nicki battle.
You couldn't wait for a goddamn Mikal moment, right? You just couldn't wait.
That's it. People agree with me. Taylor Swift, she could spit.
Okay.
Do your Googles.
Nah, I'm not doing my Googles on this. I'll pass.
Taylor Swift got it. But let's talk about Meek and Drake, since everybody's talking about Meek and Drake.
Yo, that shit had me up all night last night laughing, because I don't know what pissed Meek Mill off all of a sudden, but apparently he doesn't like when people don't tweet about his album. So that means if you don't tweet about Meek's album, you got beef. And now he's got beef with Drake. And then what do he want to do? He wants to come out and say, yo, you got a ghostwriter. Come on, son. Did you have to hit him below the belt? Did you really?
Yo, so if that's the case, Kanye got a ghostwriter. Everyone's there had a ghostwriter. Who cares?
I mean, Kanye can never speak on this subject for his entire life. He's not allowed.
Nah, you got to stay out of it.
Yeah. There's no way that Kanye could ever speak about ghostwriting. Dr. Dre can't talk about ghostwriting. But look, man, let's get to the nitty-gritty of it. Meek is dating Nicki. Why are you fucking up the money? That's what I want to know. Like, you know Nicki's sitting around going, look, Meek, you got to chill. Like, what beef did they get into that made Meek wake up and say, you know what? Fuck Drake. I'm going to disagree.
Yo, you know, this has been building. You think this beef started last night? This has been building. Ever since that Truffle Butter verse came out, and Meek was like, hold on. So I was hooking up with Nicki when she was with Safari or whatever the dude's name is. Meek said that as much on his new album. Like, yo, wait, so me and Nicki been riding for like 8 months before we even announced it. And Drake's trying to smash in the back of the car? Like, hold on, what happened here? And then he asked Nicki a question. Nicki went all queens on him. He took her off all his Instagram pictures. He went like full on Instagram official, straight like IG thought on Nicki. She was like, yo, yeah, you want to do this? I'll take you off all my stuff. And then she probably like, yeah, that Drake verse, it really happened. She just got constant loop of that Drake lap dance around the crib. And that hurts people's feelings, yo. So this has been building up.
But why are you going to blame Drake, though? I mean, let's be clear. Like I said on Twitter last night, all Drake has to do is just post a bunch of videos of him dry humping Nicki Minaj, and Meek can't say shit. Because Nicki's been dry humping Drake for years. And if you gonna get mad now, you need to figure something out. Because
you get mad whenever you want. He has the license to get mad whenever he wants. Drake's untrustworthy. He grew out the stupid beard. Drake just looks suspect.
But what loyalty got to Meek Mill? If he was if he been smashing Nicki on some buddy shit, why is Meek pissed now? And why
they
is he mad?
Stop.
Why don't he diss
they
Nicki?
Stop.
Why don't he diss Nicki? Why diss Drake? Answer me that.
Because Nicki just helped him sell 250,000 albums.
Yeah,
we've established this.
She ain't helped that much.
And you know, when you hurt, you never go after the person you're with. You always go after the other person. That's you're always going to get back with the person you're with.
Nah, that's whole shit. That's whole
shit. He can't say shit about Nicki. He going to be back with Nicki a week from now. So go after Drake. Be hurt. Drake light skin. He all right. There was no threat of a fight. Drake ain't going to punch him in the face.
Yeah, but, like, I don't understand. Like, you go to Twitter saying that you mad because he didn't tweet about your album, saying that he got a ghostwriter, and then you say you only roll with the real, but your right hand is Rick Ross, who's the biggest fraud in hip-hop? Explain this to me, son. Explain it. I don't understand it.
Yo, we can't call it. Meek shooting from the hip. This is one thing in fights. You don't always gotta be factual. Who cares about factual shit? It's a fight. He's just trying to talk shit to Drake. Meek, on his own album, there was a verse someone took it from, like, Rap Genius or some shit, where he said, I don't even write my own rhymes. Who cares if Drake got a ghostwriter? Drake's going to sell all the albums he's going to sell. The girl's going to love him and his stupid beard. And he's going to probably still smash Nicki on the regular. And that's what has him hurt. It's public, yo. Like, as soon Drake probably just walked by them at some event, looked at Nicki a little too long, and that was it. It was beef.
But Drake been looking at Nicki's ass for how many years now?
Too long. If you ask me, too long. But keep your eyes to yourself, B.
So then why don't... Listen, why don't you just say, fuck Drake, I don't like his beard, and he's probably smashing my girl. Why go the ghostwriter route? That's like below the belt. Like, why even go that route?
Because that's how hip-hop is nowadays. It's a bunch of fake fights on Twitter and Instagram, and no one puts out a verse. You know what? If this was 2000, Meek would have just dropped the verse, dropped the track. He would have had the ghostwriter on the track at the end, blowing the spot. That's hip-hop.
That ain't even hip-hop. It's still corny. Yo, all this shit is corny. All this shit is corny. All I'm waiting to see is if Drake ever responds, if it's even necessary. Or you know Drake gonna shoot them subliminals like Jay-Z. That's probably what's gonna happen. Drake gonna
shoot. Yeah, he's gonna sneak diss him. Yeah. I don't know. He's scheduled to perform on the MTV awards that are coming up, because you know Drake will just have some crazy shit on the screen. Like his summer jam. Like he'll have a picture of Nicki and like it's on his lap all performance long.
Man, I just want to know what the conversations between Meek and Nicki are like right now. Like, what are they talking about right now?
Oh, she's tight. Because you know she loves little light-skinned Drake, yo. She loves him. And she'd be like, oh, that's my friend. We just friends. Oh, by the way, everyone listening, that, oh, he's my friend. Oh, that's my BFF. Don't fall for that, yo. It's never just a best friend. Always side-eye a chick.
Yeah.
If Twitter teaches you anything, that whole, oh, that's just my friend line, is not true.
Not at all.
So that's what she's saying, and he don't believe it. And he from Philly, and he's wild. This would have never happened to Meek Mill with the braids.
Yo, Meek Mill with the braids wouldn't be here right now. Like, Meek Mill with the braids is a totally different Meek Mill. Like, that guy, he's like the reverse Samson. He had to cut his braids to make it in this business. Them braids was doing him no justice. Nope.
He would have stood for this. There would have been some real beef. It would have went to the bars. But Meek Mill now, with the waves and a little bit of makeup on all time, his complexion is lightened a great deal, too. Him and Nicki got some magic doctors, because he was gone from dark skin to brown skin in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
So it's a whole different Meek Mill, yo. I can't call it.
Yo, I can't call it. I just think this shit is stupid. I just thought it was fascinating that your man Roscoe Dash jumped in the beef like he belonged. I don't even know why he's participating. Like, who the fuck is thinking about Roscoe Dash? Not Roscoe Dash, not Meek Mill, not Drake. Nobody's thinking about goddamn Roscoe Dash, but he's got to put his 2 cents in. Then your man Funk Flex, he's got to put his 2 cents in where he's bashing fools. Like, what is going on? This shit is so stupid. Somebody just diss somebody on a track now, please.
That's all that's needed. And it's crazy because Funk Flex, well, I don't even know how he got into this. I'm surprised he can work the internet. Like, he's 50. Like, let it go. Like, you don't need to be in beefs. That's my pet peeve in life. Old, like we get it, my man. You're a hip-hop, like, pioneer. You got it. Stay out of beef. Stop doing what the young kids do. You're too old for Twitter beef. At least Meek and Drake are young. We don't need no old people in Twitter beefs. So, Funk Flex, he got to stay out of this. He's eliminated from conversation.
Too late.
Roscoe Dash, I didn't even know he was still around. This is just hyping up his next single. If anyone puts out a diss track, it's Roscoe Dash.
That's horrible. I mean, you know, Rick Ross is in it too. He said he rolling with Meek. He's not hitching his. I mean, look, here's the funny thing. Did anybody pay attention to Rick Ross dropping a video yesterday? Nope, because nobody gives a fuck. Your career is over. Like, it's Hood Billionaire is about to be a Hood Dollionaire because it's running out fast. So why is he hitching his wagon to Meek?
Yeah, I mean, you got to go down with the ship. That's it. Like, Drake ain't putting no money on his table.
Yo, I don't know if Wale's going down with that ship. Wale better leave before it's too late. I tell you what. You know what's great? I think Joe Budden should call Drake, form the tag team, the light-skinned dudes, and then just go in on Meek. Because you know Budden, he's been waiting to go at somebody.
Budden's been waiting for that Drake verse forever. This might be his only shot.
Yeah.
Joey got to shoot his shot and try to get Drake on the diss track right now.
I mean, let's be honest. Is Meek versus Drake, is it even competitive, or does Drake eat Meek alive?
No, that's competitive.
Really?
Drake has a lot more reach. It's really comparable, and I'm not saying Meek is cannabis, but like the LL Cannabis beef, where LL was just so big, that cannabis, it didn't matter what he was going to say, he was just going to get crushed.
No, I'm just talking about... No, I'm just talking about bars. I'm not talking about who's got the bigger fan base. I don't care. Bars? I'm talking about bars. Bars.
Nah, Meek hold his own in that shit. I mean, Drake got a lot of stuff you can say about him. For all it's worth, you can say a lot about Drake. It's just people don't care. So you can create clever bars and really get at Drake. It's not impossible. It's just all his fans and stans are so wide-eyed over him that they'll just laugh it off and be like, who cares? But it's still some dope-ass bars. And Drake will just call him a sap and all this shit. And then Meek will say, I'm more hood than you could ever be. Look at all these stupid lyrics you've been spinning about being hood and doing and selling drugs and all that shit. You ain't do none of that, Degrassi. And it could be real. So, I mean, they go back and forth. Meek's acting like a sucker right now, but he's just a sucker for love. Don't get it twisted. There's a difference between being a sucker and a sucker for love. He is in the second category. He's still been riding dirt bikes with felons. This guy has felonies. It's real. Drake is not Meek Mill. So when it comes to credibility and really talking that talk, Meek got the upper hand. And that's huge in rap battles.
Nah. I'm buying nothing. What you're selling me right now, I'm not buying it. And you just made me really depressed about this beef that I don't even want to talk about anymore. Like the fact
that... No, so let's... That shit's whack. There's real beef out there.
Yeah, people...
Boy Bronson...
Well, that wasn't the one I was talking about, but sure. Let's talk about two guys who sound the same on the mic beefing about who sounds better with the same voice. Let's talk about that shit.
Yo, it's who had it first. You don't... Come on. Bronson, I've been saying Bronson stole that whole style. Entire thing. Ghost ain't gonna let that slide.
I mean, alright, let's just put it in perspective. Bam Bam's on Sports Nation, and he's getting talked to by Max Kellerman. And they're asking him about Ghost. So Bronson kind of felt himself. And he was like, he ain't doing it like this anymore. And that just set Ghost off. And I'm sure Bronson, after he said what he said, I know he was like, fuck. Like, you know he went to that back studio and was like, God, I gotta call Ghost and apologize, but I don't have his phone number. You know that's what it was. You know he felt bad about shit. And that and the six-minute rant that Ghostface gave, that's beef. That's epic.
That's epic. That's some real shit. He was pointing with the remote control.
Yeah.
That's when you know it's real.
Yo, all he needed was the Maltese Falcon on his arm, and it would have completed the cipher. Because he had Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes playing in the background. Like, that's how you beef with somebody, like, for real. Like, Drake and Meek, y'all take notes from Ghostface. Next time, put on a fucking robe, get a Maltese Falcon, like, have Raekwon in the background throwing up gang signs or some shit, put on some goddamn Superfly, and then talk shit. Because that's what Ghost did and slayed everything that Bronson has done.
Yo, the music was so smooth that you were just kind of worried. Like, yo, like, it's too just nice in the background. Ghost really means business.
Yo, that's pimp shit right there.
He dropped everybody on ESPN's name. He was about it. He wanted to make sure everyone knew what was up. They need Ghost in studio. They're dropping the ball.
Yo, that's not
Ghost should have been there next day.
Yo, that's not even beef. Like, Bronson and Ghost is not even beef. That's like a father, like, spanking his son. That's all that shit was. That's not even beef. And then Bronson apologized on Twitter, and what does Ghost say? Nah. And that's it. That's all he said. And dropped the mic. That's it. The end.
Yeah, Ghost ain't about that. Nah. You don't squash beef.
He ain't about that apology life. Fuck that. He was alive when Big and Pac was here. He ain't fucking with that. that's not beef. Like, that's the beef that I'm talking about is the beef when your former Birdman daddy and his new protege, Young Thug, plot to murder you on a tour bus. That's beef.
Word up. We got to play Biggie What's Beef during the commercials. That's beef.
These aren't bars. This is murder. Like, somebody's trying to get killed. And for anybody who hasn't read, you have to go to the smoking section. My man Gotti wrote up an excellent piece that basically documents exactly how this whole tour bus shooting went down, how Young Thug and Birdman were connected to it. And it kind of blew my mind because I was like, yo, this can't be real. This is like Pain and Gain. Like, you seen the movie Pain and Gain? The shit was ridiculous. Yo, Birdman is really butthurt. Didn't he just throw a drink a little way in the club, like on some girl shit?
Even after that, like, you try to kill him, and then you still throw a drink at him. Like, yo, look it. I can touch you. That's one of those messages. Like, yo, you touchable. You like, y'all gonna shoot you right now.
Yo, then you take it a step further, though. Not only do you do that, you sue Jay-Z for $50 million because you butthurt because he put out Wayne's tape on Tidal. Really? $50 million? You think you deserve $50 million, Birdman? You already robbed Lil Wayne of everything else, and probably his virginity. So why don't you just chill and leave the shit alone? Like, cut it out.
Yo, that beef is beyond real. I can't wait to see what that turns into. Like, I read the link that you posted to that joint. Shout out to your mans, though, from Focus Section. Yeah, he was like a male Olivia Pope on that joint. Like, he found out everything.
Yo, it's public everything record.
To do with it.
But, you know,
it was bananas, and I can't believe they got caught. How do you get caught? Well, that's the stupidest thing. How do you get caught?
It's called snitching on yourself. Like, rap, the thing about this music industry is fools get a little bit too boisterous and don't know how to shut the fuck up. So you look at Young Thug's situation. Yeah, like, you got an idiot running your errands for you, right? Who's going to call you after he shoots at the tour bus. That's dummy number one. But then Young Thug is just stupid as well and decides to put the same dude in the video with the gun. Like, come on, man. You really, like, what are you doing? And then Birdman, idiot number three, didn't check nobody in the process. Your man had, you know, his white Camaro, I believe he was driving the shooter, tried to delete it off his Instagram. Like, dog, you've been snitching on yourself for way too long.
For a second.
Yo, you, like, this is beef, but like I said, it's like Pain and Gain. Like, Pain and Gain was a bunch of dummies trying to execute something to make some money. And that's what Birdman and Young Thug are doing right now. Like, this isn't smart beef. This is trying to pull off. Like, if they would have killed Lil Wayne, they would all be in jail right now. If they would have really got Lil Wayne, it's like, dog, the evidence stacks up against you.
It's the dumbest shit possible. It's like, yo, just release him. Like, if it's that serious, just release him. He'll go about his way. You good. Hit your wagon to Young Thug, whatever he's offering, if he's the future for Birdman. Whatever, just let it go.
Yeah.
Birdman, he got enough dope. Can't be spending your whole life in prison. Like, that's some whack shit.
Yo, he's like the Southern
This Diddy. Is really like the WWE, yo. Like, Vince McMahon would love this shit because it's black people acting overly black. It's stupid. Like, he can't even write this shit. Creative cannot come up with this.
Yeah, it's really sad. But at least in the WWE, there's a, you know, you have the blow-off fight at the pay-per-view. Like, Meek and Drake ain't even going to fight at the pay-per-view. They're just going to act like the shit ain't never happened. They might throw a
Meek and Drake at SummerSlam with Nikki in the middle, like Lana when Rusev and Dolph Ziggler was going at it. Perfect.
Yeah, I don't know.
And Nikki got the stupid accents. She's just like Lana.
Yeah, you're right.
Fake accents and all.
You're right. And you know, in the midst of all this, Chris Brown is chilling like, yeah, thank God nobody's talking about me.
Like, yeah, you posted, I guess, you're like, oh, at least it's not about me. It's not about him because he just got robbed.
Yeah, by your boys. They threw you on in the closet, so it is about you. You're always going to catch the slander, Chris Brown.
They're probably bumping YG Flockers when they did it.
Jesus
That's Christ. Real. You can't even let people know where you live anymore. Instagram in your new crib.
Come on, man.
Like, there's not Google Maps.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Earth. Like, come on.
I don't do that. Like, that's what I'm saying. Hip-hop, this industry has gotten so stupid. Like, beef, you should just be on wax. Like, nobody would just be like, yo, I live at 555 Blast Ave, and then have everybody come into your crib and then giving out your phone. Like, it just didn't, like, yo, you battled on wax, and then you saw who the winner was. Like, and that was it. But now it's like you beef on social media. Like, it's just like a game of telephone. It's like gossip. It's corny.
That's it. No bars. Bars ain't cool no more. Nah. Social media hype.
Like, we're really emotional right now. Like, rappers are really in their feelings.
Listen, yo, I blame you.
What?
This is why me and you gonna have beef. I blame you.
You're gonna have to explain this shit.
Listen, I blame you and all your people because you started this with your hip-hop blogging and all this, and they love that shit. So they just want to feed the blogs, and there's no more hype behind the diss track. Why do a diss track when you can tweet out one thing and every blog will pick it up, and it gives you 18,000 more times the traction? Everyone's talking about it. It's on every hip-hop blog right now. I mean, this is because people of your ilk, Mr. Hip Hop DX, take stuff and run with it. And you started it. Nah. I blame you. You changed it.
Yo, you're going to have to do your Googles. Because when I was running DX, it was about respectable journalism. And
of course.
Nah.
But they found the power, yo. It's no longer. Everything starts out respectable. That's why you're not there. That's why you're not doing hip hop blogging every day. Like, it's changed. Like, it's all right. Like, stuff changes. It's not because of people that run it. It's because now the artist was like, yo, look at how much stuff this is getting without the stupidness. Let's use this for stupidness. And that's what they do.
All of this is cutting out the middleman. Before, when you had a beef, you either put it on wax or you told a reporter. Now, because you have Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, you got all these ways to reach people. Because, like, think about it. Once upon a time, artists were mysterious. You didn't know where they lived. Like, Chris Brown, if he was doing shit, you wouldn't really know it. It'd be behind closed doors, right? Like, people just didn't know about everything. Now it's you put your whole life out there. So, yeah, you're going to get this. Like, Meek and Nicki in, like, the 90s wouldn't have been a public item. They would have hit that shit for at least a good couple of months till the Source magazine figured it out. And then put it in the magazine a month later. Because print was always a month behind. But now everything's instantaneous. And the worst part about it is, like, some people, like, I'm looking at Chris Brown, you don't need Twitter. Like, you should never have something where you can just immediately say what you think. Because some people, I don't want to hear that shit. Like, Meek was mad, and I'm sure he's sitting back there like, what did I just do? Like, he's going to stand up for it because he's apparently a man, and he's going to stand behind his word, but dog, people just say dumb shit. It's unnecessary. Like, have a filter. Nobody has a filter
anymore. Word, don't push send.
Nah, don't push send. Don't push that tweet button. You can't take it back. You can delete all you want, but that's why there's such a thing called screen grab, and everybody's going to take your shit.
But that's what makes Twitter Twitter, like, I tell people all the time, Twitter's not shit that people say. It's stuff that people think. And your thoughts come way faster than your words. So people will just tweet whatever they think, and then they'll be like, oh, I should have said that. Like, oh, you really didn't say it. You just thought it. Now it's out in the air. Yeah. And now you got some explaining to do. So Meek just really cut off, like, his next three singles, and he's having no Drake on his next three albums until they kiss and make up after Nicki disses them both. You think leaves him for Justin Bieber in 5 years. I don't know.
So you think Drake's going to make up with Meek? Drake does seem like the guy that accepts apologies, though.
They always make up. Always. Then they'll do a track together. Look at, we cool again. Let me drop Drake on my new single. But it's going to take two albums.
That's a long time. You know, the funniest thing about all this is everybody's just really mad at Drake for being Drake. Like, what did Drake really do to anybody that's causing people to hate Drake? Chris Brown hates Drake because Drake smashes whoever the fuck Chris Brown's dating at the time. Meek Mill's mad. Like, yeah. Well, I mean, whoever. You know, I'm sure there's other ones. You know.
Oh, Rihanna. Yeah. Drake has an impressive catalog.
Yeah, like, yo, Drake's portfolio of smashing chicks is pretty damn impressive. And everybody's mad at him, and now it's time to diss him. It's really unfortunate when you rap cats are mad because this light-skinned dude with a beard that was on Degrassi in Canada is smashing your girl. Or you think he's smashing your girl. I don't know. Like,
that's even worse. When you don't know, when you're just speculating and you can't get proof, that hurts you worse.
Speaking of speculation, you got put on blast.
Yo, they try to start beef with me. You see, I was just chilling. I was at the NBA Players Awards at the red carpet, not doing much of anything. You know, looking at the celebs and the players and getting a few quotes and pictures. And I picked up a quote from Pooch Hall, who was getting interviewed by your ex and former employer, BET. A couple of people on the red carpet. And they're like, yo, Pooch Hall, what do you think about BET Uncut coming back? He was like, oh, it's coming back? They're like, yeah, what was your favorite BET Uncut memory? So I tweet this. It picks up a little traction on Twitter. I get home. I'm like, yo, I'm going to write a quick little stupid article about it. BET Uncut's coming back. And that's that. Source myself. and I go to sleep for the night. So I wake up in the morning, got 600 retweets or something stupid. Everywhere it's picked it up, and I'm like, dope, cool, all good. But right, I gave BT some pub, much needed, because no one even watches that shit no more. Mm-mm. And I thought I did my job. So I go handle my business, I go about my day, come home around 4 o'clock, BT thought they were dope, and they wrote their article. Like, yo, BT Uncut is not coming back. They did like some weird phrasing of it. They're like, Pooch Hall told BSO and Kel Dansby the wrong information. Like, they tried to not make me look like the bad guy, kind of, but it was just lame. And then I got the email. Once I tweeted, I was like, yo, I stand by my reporting. Someone from BET emailed me. It was like, yo, did this really happen? I said, yes, your people confirmed it on the carpet, and they said it. And then they took their article down. Like, oh, my bad. I guess it is coming back. How the hell do you work somewhere and everyone doesn't talk to everyone? So your internet guys can't find out BET Uncuts on the way back?
Yeah, so look, I work there. And I can tell you firsthand the many times that I didn't know what was going on in the room next to me. And it was just really like that. There's always a disconnect. But the fact they tried to slander your character and made you see like you were a liar, when they essentially snitched on themselves by having their own staff ask Pooch Hall what his favorite uncut video was because the show's coming back. So, like, bottom line of this is BET Uncut's coming back. Correct?
Yes, it'll be back, and they're going to look stupid when it comes back, and I'll be chilling just with a smile on my face. And as long as they put Tip Drill on it, all's fair. Now, if they leave Tip Drill off, then we got real beef. Well, but outside of that, they need to do their Googles. They need to know what the hell's going on in their own company and stop saying stupidness. They should be happy. I got people talking about BET again. I got more BET buzz than the Andre Ward fight.
Damn. Yo, that was low. So
I did. They should thank me.
But, you know, so here's the thing. You know, BET Uncut's coming back, and it's been a long time since we needed a BET Uncut, because this was pre-YouTube. Like, there was no YouTube when Uncut was out. So, it was nothing. So now that Uncut is here, and BET supposedly be trying to clear up their image, if that's what their goal is, what videos will Uncut really be showing?
I mean, they got a top world star, right?
No, they don't.
That's the competition.
We live in an ultra-sensitive society, so the moment that a pair of titties flash across the screen on Saturday night heading into Sunday morning, everybody's going to go rallying against BET. That's the reality of this situation. I just think this
But it's not like it's something new. Titties were on the screen the whole time.
But it's BET. Like, BET is going to catch flack, because if they're the only ones showing titties on Saturday night and then church service right after that, they're going to catch heat. So I don't really think that, I don't think the Uncut's really going to be the Uncut that we used to know. Like, if it's really coming back, it's just going to be some longer versions of videos or videos with questionable content. And I don't think it's going to be anything that's going to be, I don't think we're ever going to see Tip Drill on BET again. That's just my two cents.
Well then BET's super whack then. And they should scrap if that's the case, because then if they're not going to do it right, don't do it at all. And you got, and for it to work, you have to get exclusive videos to drop on the weekend. So if like Future got like his stupid new joint, something with the girls, I don't know. Listen, I listened to that album twice only because of our show, and I can't do that shit again. It was horrible. For the record, the Future album was horrible.
Hey,
and me and Andres agree on that.
Hey, yes. If there's anything that me and Kel will agree on, is Future's that Dirty Sprite 2 album sucks. And you guys, you can rally for it. You can say he's the hottest rapper. But as soon as Meek and Drake started beefing, y'all forgot all about that Future shit. I guarantee it. But that's the way it is. Anyway.
Yeah, but he can drop his exclusive joint on there. Just get a couple people to drop exclusive joints and have some girls shaking their ass or being in a strip club. And BET Uncut is back. Because you got to make people want to go there for something they haven't seen before. And if you have an exclusive joint, or someone on Twitter like had a good suggestion, just make it a countdown so people don't have to go and search through YouTube or search through WorldStar or wherever the hell they get their info from. Top 8, and you just go 8 through 1 of just raunchy videos. That's dope, and you give people that. And then maybe you throw in, you know, the one classic every week that people can watch and, you know, get a host or something. It'll be cool. There's cool ways of bringing it back and changing it and doing it. Do I expect the people at BET to know that and know what the hell's fresh and how to change stuff? No, but we'll see.
Yeah, anyway, let's just move on to it. Because I know a lot of our listeners like, look, shut up with all this rap shit. Talk about what we came here for, boxing, wrestling, and MMA. But we got to do our pound-for-pound list this week, which is the best BET Uncut videos. For anybody under 21, sorry, you were not part of this. You have missed all of this, and none of this will make any sense to you. But for the adults in the room, yeah, there were some ignorant classics on BET Uncut.
Classics.
So, Kel, you got to go first, bro.
I always go first. Let's see. 5-1. Five, no panties on the dance floor. That's a sleeper pick right now. That video is dope. Four, what that smell like. Even though a lot of people like it more than me, it wasn't my favorite. It never was.
I don't think it's anybody's real favorite, Kel. Like, shit. It's like, what that thing smell like is brilliant ignorance at its finest.
You know, that'd be a chart topper today. If Migos came out with what that thing smelled like.
Don't, you're giving ideas. Cut it out.
Just
to
let you know.
Nope, stop. No ideas for Migos to remake what that thing smelled like. No.
Three white girls. That's classic.
Hey, could Mighty Casey. Three.
But two, you know, pee popping, you get the whole joint. I'll censor myself on this for everyone.
You censor yourself on that. We've been saying, we've been dropping F bombs the whole show. Come on, Kel, you gotta be consistent.
Alright, the pussy popping.
Don't be Meek Mill and be inconsistent with your disses, man.
Listen, pussy popping video was dope. There you go. So that's two. Number one, tip drill. It's the GOAT, greatest all time. Undisputed.
That song sucked, by the way.
The champ is here. The song wasn't that bad either.
What? That song was terrible. That was the epitome of watch this video on mute.
I can throw that song on right now at a house party and people are going crazy.
I'm not going to that party. Fuck
and
that
everyone's
party.
Taking out their wallet to get their credit card and just swipe it.
But that was goals. That was career goals. After seeing the tip drill video, anybody's career goal was to swipe a credit card down some stripper's ass.
That was it. Next pool party. Everyone was just trying to swipe.
And if you had a girlfriend, you probably did it to her. Why not? Give it a shot. That's everybody. Swipe that barcode. You ain't getting no money out of it, but fuck it. Why not?
I'm not going to say my age when I watched the tip drill video, but let's just say that formed my youth. It was amazing. I probably shouldn't have been staying up till 3 a.m. to watch, she said.
Yeah, see, that was it. Anyway, so here's my list. So my number one is What That Thing Smell Like, because the song was so garbage and the video was so ridiculous about the dude smelling his fingers in the panties. And his name was Black Jesus, and he looked fucking stupid. So he'll always be number one on my list. Like, that's a classic. That's classic stupid shit. Number two is Tip Drill, just for the sake of the video. I don't know. I want to know where those girls are at today. White Chocolate. Remember her because she ended up being in King Magazine. Shout out to the homies over there, King Dejuan, that was running shit back in the day. You guys capitalized off that video immensely.
Got to do a follow up on that.
Yeah.
Put your journalist hat on. Let's
yo, I think a story about where is everybody from the tip drill video now, including like the strippers and like Murphy Lee, like I think people would be interested in that. Because everybody's got to look bad. I don't think everybody looks amazing. I don't think.
No.
Aside from Nelly being on Nellyville and still finding a way to exploit BET for some more money, I don't think anybody in that video is doing well. Well, I think Jermaine Dupri was in there. I'm sure he's doing fine. It's post-Janet Jackson days. But everybody else? Yeah. number three, man. Joker the Bell Bondsman, with Crazy Bone. Ain't nothing like money in a Ziploc bag. That's just stupid. But it's yo, if you remember the video, this guy, because he's from Alaska, he was walking through the snow, and that's all I remember. And Crazy Bone. And that's it. It was ridiculous. Number four, Mighty Casey, White Girls. I mean, don't tell Minister Farrakhan he doesn't need to know what's going on. That's epic. That's brilliant.
Classic line. Classic.
And Casey's actually a pretty damn good writer. If you Google Casey, you'll find him. He's actually penned some great articles. And five, I guess the peapod. No. Jada Kiss, Knock Yourself Out, because there was a girl who had the biggest tits of all time in that video. And they flashed them like real quick. And I'm pretty sure it was a Knock Yourself Out video because it was different from the one that had Melissa Ford in it. And it was just the girl with like the biggest hooters ever that I knew. Like, I watched it with other women in the room. It was like, damn, she got some big titties. That was an amazing video. And I didn't expect it. It caught me off guard. And I think there was like girls dry humping each other in the video too. Like,
you know, everyone's gonna YouTube this now. As soon as they like, hold on, y'all going to commercial real quick? Hold on, y'all got a break. Yeah.
Exactly. YouTube. So that's my top five BET Uncut videos. We'll never see anything like that again. Porn is far too accessible today for anybody to really be watching those damn videos. Like, if you want to watch porn, just get your phone and go like Pornhub and splash out there. You don't really need BET Uncut because they're not gonna do you any justice.
Well, Andres drops a hammer on BET Uncut. Bom. And when we come back, we got to talk about what we're supposed to be talking about. And we're going to start with WWE Battleground and some New Japan Pro Wrestling and get into the good stuff. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. What's beef? What's beef? Beef is when you need two cats to go to sleep. Beef is when your mom's ain't safe up in the streets. Beef is when I see you. Guaranteed to be in ICU. One more time. What's beef? This is usually where the sponsors will go, but since we're sponsored by the people, we wanted to tell you that you can follow us on YouTube at The Corner Podcast.
You can ask us a bunch of questions, hopefully the good ones, at thecornerpod@gmail.com.
And you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at The Corner LSN. My people. You know what beef lies after? All right, everybody. Thanks for staying with us. Welcome back. And now we're going to get into some wrestling talk because, hell, that's what we're here for, right?
Yeah, you know, anybody who listens to the show and was expecting us to open up with, like, boxing and pro wrestling, I'm sorry. Like, we're hip-hop dudes at the heart, and we just can't help it when we see a bunch of ignorance, so we had to tackle the bullshit. But yes, man, we had Battleground this weekend, which would have led off this week, but, you know, Meek and Drake was, like, a big deal.
Yeah, but we got an even bigger beef. There's beef in the WWE right now. And we saw a brawl on Monday Night Raw that we'll get to. But the beef started on Sunday. And it was between Taker and the Beast, Brock Lesnar.
Yo, so Undertaker's been gone for over a year since he... Well, he fought Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania. But nothing has happened since he lost, right? And then it kind of got spoiled for us because the reports started coming out that Taker was going to be at Battleground and... And there was worry that Sting's going to be involved in WrestleMania. So he kind of expected it. But the way that it happened was like, I'm going to be honest. When it happened, I was like, boo. I didn't like it. I didn't like it because it made Rollins look weak. I didn't like it because it was no clear finish. I didn't like it because it basically threw a monkey wrench into all of the plans. My perception of all of that changed on Monday night when those two dudes brawled for like an hour. That was amazing.
I'm the only one that didn't like the brawl.
Yo, how did you not like the? Because you're not a good person. Because
Taker just has crazy ass eyes now. Like Taker doesn't even look like he should be anywhere near Brock Lesnar physically.
Well, it looks like Kelsey Grammer. Let's be real. Undertaker looks like Kelsey Grammer.
And he's growing out the hair again, but it's in that weird, awkward phase of growing out the hair, where he kind of looks like Monica on Friends. The shit's horrible. Yeah. But he came back and people were hyped, and I'm like, all right, we get to see Taker again. And I'm like, yo, I grew up with the golden age of wrestling. Like, shit, I've loved wrestling forever. But I can let people go. Like, if ratings aren't doing well, I'm not going to keep retreading people. Like, I really don't need to see Sting again. I didn't need to see Taker this early. Hell, I give him one more match and just let him walk away. You don't have to continuously bring people back. So they did, and he fought, and I thought he was going to blow out his back or his hip or something, trying to pick up Lesnar for the two tombstones. He had a little hitch in his giddy-up where he was like, all right, I got it. And it just looked painstaking. And then they had the brawl, and he got the crazy man eyes. It makes Lesnar look weak. So, Lesnar, you can do all this shit to everyone else, but you can't beat an old-ass man.
All right, so first things first. I needed you to sustain any realistic expectations that you have in real-life fights. Because with Undertaker, like, Undertaker's the only wrestler who has stayed true to character from, well, except for the...
False.
Except for the Biker Act. The Biker Act didn't count.
American Badass, Kid Rock, Undertaker.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, fuck all that. That didn't happen. So, we're basically looking at a guy who's worked with magic and, you know, dead people and caskets on fire and resurrections. Like, Kane has become corporate Kane wearing a suit. Other guys have just become normal human beings. Undertaker is still the Undertaker, and he'll always be the Undertaker. So
they come back with, like, cover up his man boobs and his fucking belly. Give him like the original suit with the mad wide tie with the stripes on it, and come back the original purple gloved Undertaker and show me something different. This is a resurrection, and you were done. Come back as the original Undertaker. Or come back as the dude when he had, like, the ministry and stuff, when he was really scary. Give me an original version of the Taker, not this half biker, half MMA fighter, half dead man act. Because I don't want that Taker if you're coming back. Bring back the real one. Bring back the believable one who actually looks like he could be dead.
Well, again, like I said, when I watched Battleground and it happened, I was like, this is whack. Like, this is dumb. Why are we bringing Undertaker back? Why are we just kind of messing up the storylines? But then when I saw the brawl, like, let's talk about a few things about the brawl. First of all, Paul Heyman's speech on Raw was amazing. Not like Great. He gives us anything less, but it was amazing. When Undertaker showed up, that was you know, vintage Undertaker, as Michael Cole would call it. But when Lesnar's music hit, and Michael Cole and JBL said, I'm out, and left, yo, that's when shit got real. And then these dudes are fighting, and they empty the locker room. There's a segment in this beef where Undertaker's kind of bitch-slapping the dude from The Ascension for basically being a fake.
Yeah, Titus O'Neil was mad whack, too. I was like, Titus, you can't hold it back.
Yeah, but it's like Undertaker was like kind of like he was hitting him, and only him. And dude was like, why are you hitting me? And I know in Undertaker's head, he was like, because you look like a fake-ass Road Warrior, so I have to hit you. So they're fighting. Brock Lesnar gets free all the time. And these dudes are – and there's a segment, I think, when they're in the backstage area where Lesnar's chilling, sees Taker, and then throws the table to his right. And I swear to God, it killed like four people because none of those people moved. The table just hit him. It had to. Taker's got – I mean, Brock Lesnar has it really bad for throwing things and hitting people.
Hitting people. Random innocent bystanders always catch it around Lesnar.
But you know what? It's Lesnar. So all you do is give the kid or the adult or whoever there's a bunch of merch, and they just shut the fuck up. So so here's my thing. This match, should it happen? I don't know. The fact that it's happening at SummerSlam, I'm cool with because of the brawl. However, you got another 4 weeks to go to promo this match. And I don't know if we can keep the momentum going heading into SummerSlam. But I'm not, like, again, I'm not mad. I'm mad at the way that it was booked for Rollins to look so weak. He looked like Kofi Kingston out there getting suplexed.
He did. Just catching just a million suplexes and then getting finished, and he should have lost.
No, he's the champ. Like, come on, man. You got to make your champ.
I did like his promo, though. His Raw promo was good.
Yeah, his Raw promo was good.
He came out, and he made her, you know, he was like, oh, announced that I'm still a champion. But that was a good promo. Good spin on it.
I mean, everything, it was crazy. The end of Battleground's crazy because, like, the ref was gone. Like, I don't know what happened to the ref. I got to give Rollins props, though, because I have no idea how he escaped the ring that fast. Yo, he got out of that ring in, like, record time and vanished. And the ref was ghost, and then it was like, the bell never rang. Nobody got announced as the winner. It was what it was. But let's just kind of talk about Battleground as a whole for a minute. It was a weirdly booked show. The matches weren't bad. It was like Kevin Owens tapping out to John Cena was weak.
Whack. No explanation for that still. But, I mean, I guess we get an explanation without one. And we see what happened with Cena on Raw, which we'll talk about. And we know why he had to look super over on Kevin Owens.
No, but he didn't. Like, let's be real, okay? And we can talk about it now. Kevin Owens lost to John Cena, right? Which means there's going to be no blow-off match at SummerSlam, which is what everybody wanted.
Yeah.
But couldn't he have still won the title and Cena could have fought Rollins without the U.S. title?
Wouldn't no, not yet. I think that booking was smart. That's I didn't like smart. That, you know, Owens tapped, because to me that was whack. Just have him pass the hell out. If you want the STF to look dope and to have a submission-style thing, and it might have been Owens's, you know, just, yo, let's go for something different. Let's give a throwback to, like, real wrestling submissions when this shit mattered. They want to do something different. Cool. They were both going for submissions. Submissions played a huge part in their match this time.
Yeah, but just don't tap. Tap is
no,
like
don't tap. Rusev. Have him pass out. Cena, you did the same shit for him with Rusev. He had to lose to Rusev. You passed the hell out.
Yeah.
You still look strong. Have him pass out. But the booking was right. The thought process was right. Because now Cena has one championship going for another. They're not going to let him carry both titles into that match. He's going to do an open challenge. Owens is going to accept the open challenge and win the belt.
Yeah, no.
Before SummerSlam.
Cool. Nah, I don't see that happen. Like, look, bottom line.
Someone's going to be Cena in an open challenge in the next 3 weeks. It's either him, it'll be Rusev, which probably not because, I mean, he had the belt before. Cesaro might get the push. One of those three are going to beat Cena in an open challenge.
So why couldn't Owens just win at Battleground?
Because then you need Cena to look over the top impressive to go for the title.
Why? Rollins just looked weak as hell. Is it really necessary for Cena to look that great?
Yes, because you can't keep giving people off of losses title shots.
Why?
Yes, I'm talking about fucking Feed Me More. Like, he's horrible. He came off a loss to Wyatt and got the title a week later. Let's stop that precedent. You know what? Cena looked good. Cena has been carrying the company for this past, what, 5-6 months? He's been enhancing all the new talent. He's looked great against everyone. For the first time, you know what? His stupid highlighter gimmick might be old, but he's wrestling the best of his life. And yeah. You can reward him. For the first time, he actually deserves to go over on someone, and people are mad.
Because we don't.
Okay, don't lose, Cena. You're going to get the belt anyway. We all know how this is going to play out. Don't lose. Here.
Why?
And then lose on Raw or something. Because he's Cena.
No, I don't like.
You're gonna lose. That would have been 2 out of 3 that he lost.
Yes,
to Owens.
Nope. If you're gonna put somebody over, and I'm not specifically blaming Cena for this because I'm sure the brass had something to do with it, saying, you know what, Kevin Owens is not the guy. Because if you beat Cena 2 out of 3 matches, you've basically taken the torch and you're running with it.
Yeah, he's not that guy.
And, well, they're not gonna give it to him. Owens could be that guy. He's that good.
I don't know if they push heels like that anymore.
Well, they need to because who you got? You got Rollins and who else?
Oh, I mean, they're going to – it's all setting up. All of it's setting up for Roman to take the belt, which he might be done after 3 months after Mania because I don't know how he's going to carry it as champion, but we shall see. But after Reigns, like, I don't know, man. I don't see another – who else is a monster heel that can even contend for that belt?
That's my point.
The championship belt?
That's my point, and that's why.
And if you give it to Cena now, it's not changing hands before Mania. He's having it for 7 months.
Bullshit! Like Cena's losing that title in like Survivor Series. Look, if Roman,
who?
I don't know, because here's the thing is everything's so fluid in the WWE right now. There's a lot of guys that are in the mix, right? And Cena carrying the world title again is going to have it's like regression because it's not going to be an open challenge for the world heavyweight title. That's not going to happen. So you're losing a great 30-minute segment from the show. So it's unnecessary. Kevin Owens would have been better carrying the U.S. title and doing his own open challenge every week. Being a douchebag about it, but doing his own open challenge.
Getting DQ'd, walking out.
Yeah, be a shithead. Like, I don't mind that. You can do that. But like I said, the show was just strangely booked. And like going back to the rest of the show, it's still strange to me that Sasha Banks, who's the NXT Women's Champion, doesn't come out to her own music. And doesn't carry her own belt. Doesn't make sense to me.
Still weird. I seen her with the belt once, and I think that was last week on SmackDown.
Well, nobody watched SmackDown, so nobody saw her.
Hey, I watched it for Bay. That's how much I care.
Well, that's how much you care. But, like, that match, like, Brie Bella fucked up all the chemistry between Charlotte and Sasha Banks.
Yo, she didn't even need to be there. Nah, she was an afterthought.
She was, like, invisible. Like, she literally came in to mess up the match. Like, the flow of the match was bad because of her.
But they look so good compared to her. It's just like, shit. You guys have been here, for all purposes, running the division the past year, and you can't even hang with these girls.
Nah, not a chance.
You shouldn't even be in the ring.
Not a chance. So I don't know what they're building up to because the NXT women are so good. However, it's going to
be... And they're making them win. Well, they're winning every time.
Like, next week, I'm going to put my money on it, and we'll talk about it next time we do the show. Becky Lynch is going to win a match next week. It just seems like everybody's got to win one. I don't know, man. Like I said, it was cool. Like, the match was okay. It wasn't like Sasha Charlotte on NXT, but whatever.
I wonder if the new chicks just turn against the old ones. I wonder if that becomes the thing eventually.
I don't know.
If it's just NXT girls versus everyone else. Like, yo, we're winning all these matches. The other three are kind of washed. Let's just team up. I mean, Paige isn't washed, but they'll just leave Paige by herself and be like, yo, it's NXT girls versus the world.
Yeah, but who's the world? Like, that's a squash match. Like, those girls are too good.
They really are. But, I mean, the Bellas have to go. You just can't be reality stars anymore, yo. That's done. Yeah. That those days are over. Total Divas ain't carrying you no more. And yeah. I don't know who, thank God, woke up and had that idea. I don't know if Stephanie was like, the hell with it. I'm tired of this. Or Triple H, or they just love NXT because it's like their little baby at this point. And everyone from NXT is getting a crazy push. But I love it. Because if you're not, or if you haven't come through NXT, right now they're kind of just shitting on you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's, like I said, it's just everything was kind of strangely booked. What else we have on Battleground? New Day lost again.
Damn primetime players. And primetime players get arrested. Oh, they didn't get arrested. They got pulled over after.
Yeah, it's like, yo, you're the champs, you get pulled over. Some things just don't change.
Too many black people in a car. Them, Mark Henry. It was probably really low. They were in like a Prius. Something very small. Mark Henry should not have been in. They get pulled over.
Yo, if Mark Henry's driving a Prius, I am mad at the WWE.
He was passenger side.
Yeah.
You got to watch the video. There's a video.
I saw it. I saw the Instagram with Darren Young. Yeah, I saw it. But, all right, so what else do we have? So we had Owens. We had title match. Was there anything else? Am I missing anything else from Battleground?
No, there was Miz talking and getting punched in the face.
Nobody cares.
R-Truth.
That's the pre-show. Nobody cares.
Pre-show once again. Hey, stand up for our black brethren in the WWE.
I will not stand up for a coon. You can have him. That's Vince's butler. Nope, not doing it. Vince is loving R-Truth. I can't stand it.
I think that's it. I'm pretty sure we're missing one match because it was a long time. Oh, we had the opening match with Sheamus.
Oh, yeah, which was actually a good match.
Really good match.
Sheamus and Orton, but it just, you know.
Orton's always delivering, though. Like,
hey.
When it was going on, I was like, Orton's probably the most underrated wrestler in the WWE.
He's so, like, he was so overrated at one point that now he's underrated. Like,
people underrated, yeah. People just, they don't open their eyes anymore. Like, everything about him right now is great.
Yeah.
Like, how he just builds the RKO and, like, the spitting and all that craziness. RKO out of nowhere still. His moveset is even getting better.
Yeah, he's just fun to watch. It just feels like he should hold the Intercontinental title and not your boy,
Ryback. We can't even remember his name. He's that bad.
Yeah.
And they're trying to give it to him, the Miz of the Big Show. Who thought that shit was good?
No, well, somebody. I don't know who. Somebody old was back there was like, we got to show love to the old head. So.
Somehow they went from Daniel Bryan and let's bring validity to all these championships to, oh, he's injured? F it, let's go back to what we've been doing.
I mean, theoretically, I figured that what happened was Daniel Bryan got hurt and John Cena was like, I'll do it. I'll have the great matches. And that's kind of how this whole U.S. Open Challenge came up.
And then they were just like, oh, let's forget about the other belt.
Hey, Meathead's got the belt right back. He's improving, but it's just, you know, whatever.
He is. Nothing. I mean, they're trying to do with him, I guess, what they did with Reigns is like, yo, let's just force him. Like, if he can't do it now, he's never going to do it.
Yeah, so.
Let's just strap the rocket to his back, see if he can handle it.
So, you know, there was another thing. Like, I was looking at the SummerSlam poster that Sasha Banks posted on her Twitter. And Kevin Owens is not on there.
No, he's wrestling the night before.
So what are we doing? Is Kevin Owens going to be mid-carded? Because if that's the case, send him back to NXT and he doesn't need to be on the main roster. Don't ruin him.
He might go back to NXT, it looks like. It looks like they might move him back down.
I don't know. I'm not pleased.
That Samoa Joe rivalry is still brewing, man.
Yeah, and there's something that you can sell. Like, I just don't want Kevin Owens, like after he walked out on the Raw main event, which was actually fun to watch. The Raw main event was fun to watch.
Yeah.
With all three teaming up and beating the hell out of who was stuck? Was it Rusev?
Rusev. Got his ass whooped.
Yeah, got mollywopped by them three. But it was fun to watch, but I couldn't figure out, like, all right, well, what are the storylines? And I know we got Rollins and Cena, which if Rollins doesn't win this match, I think it's stupid. If Cena beats Rollins at SummerSlam, Rollins was like the most useless champion ever.
Yeah, but he was champion.
But he was useless. He's like Jack Swagger.
He's not as bad as Jack Swagger.
Come on, man. He was Money in the Bank. He won the title. And how many
matches? But to be fair, he needs to kind of let go of that, yo. They need to reevaluate Rollins as a character, because they made him a wimp. And moveset and everything. Like, they've stripped him of his finisher. So he has to get a whole new finisher. And he hasn't been able to do it because he's been using the damn pedigree. Like, he needs some time to just really figure out what the hell to do with himself right now.
But it's not his fault, man. It's like he's a great talent. They're just, you make him, when you bring back Lesnar, you make him look weak, and you've made him look weak. Like, the thing is people forget the great triple threat match that they had at the Royal Rumble where Rollins looked strong. And then you go into this match, and Lesnar just kind of trucks you until The Undertaker saves us from losing the title.
Yeah. Yo, but this is where Rollins has to show. He'll put on a great show against Cena. I have no doubt.
He's got
to
win. That's all I'm saying. I don't want to see him lose.
I don't. Yeah. I don't know if he can. I don't know if he can win that. But he's going to look great losing. And he's not going to look weak losing either. It's going to be five-star match caliber. What we saw from the likes of Zayn and even Neville put on a great match against Cena. It's going to be that good. Because Rollins is as good as them, if not better.
Yo, I remember the match we forgot now. Reigns and Wyatt.
Oh, shit. Can't forget that. Which great match. Yeah.
Harper's back in the mix?
Yes. Harper's back. Roman will be back once he's not injured, right? Yeah. So the Wyatt family's back, but I'm hoping Rowan can just cut promos with the weird-ass mask.
Well, you know what? The best and worst thing about this is the Wyatt family's back, but they got to find a third partner, right? So, and the reason why they got to find a third partner is they're saying Sting's going to get involved in this feud.
Yes, at SummerSlam, and they can't just shit on Ambrose and not book him again.
Yeah, Ambrose has got to be in this match. So that means somebody's got to join the Wyatt family. So if you're WWE and you're trying to find somebody to join the Wyatt family, who do you pick?
It's not hard. It is not hard. The shit's staring you in the face. It's probably the easiest thing to do.
Let me see. Who is it?
It's Bo Dallas.
Yeah, exactly. It's Bray Wyatt's damn brother who keeps gaining weight.
Which is great. You just say, family is coming back. We are a family. Add real family to this. He comes in. And you turn that Bo Leaf shit evil? Imagine how dope the Bo Leaf thing is. Like, they've been kind of pushing him heel anyway. Maybe he's like super evil Bo Dallas with the Bo Leaf and all that shit. So dope.
Yeah, this has to happen. Bo Dallas has to be in the Wyatt family.
Which is great, which I'm fine with.
I'm satisfied. Except for the fact
that they're saving his character, by the way, because he's middling.
Yeah, but bringing Sting back is like, I don't get
it. Oh, that's going to be horrible. And you know Sting's going to pin Wyatt.
Ugh. No, he's not. No, he's not.
Oh, God. Reigns has to pin someone, right?
I don't know what happens.
Oh, God. I have a feeling Sting's going to pin Wyatt, and they're just going to continue to bury one of the greatest characters they have.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Because he thinks like you, because he doesn't need a belt, and his character's going to withstand getting his ass whooped five times a year.
I don't know. We'll see. We got 4 weeks to build. Maybe, like, Sting will break his hip and won't be involved in the match.
But a quick segue then, because we're going to talk New Japan in a second. But we actually have a New Japan wrestler fighting in NXT.
Yeah, Jushin Thunder Liger, a legend.
What the hell does this mean?
I don't know. I don't care. Like
what?
I don't like.
Is a chance to mark out. Is there like an alliance? Like, is NXT going to get in with ROH and New Japan? And can we see a crossover in talent? Is it a real indie promotion?
I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's just kind of like an anomaly. And it just made me want to go to Brooklyn more. That's all. That's it. I just need
And to I mean, this. Liger, it's like, yeah.
Like, Liger's like 1,000 years old. Like,
yeah, yo. Yeah. They could have chose a better athlete.
Yeah, like.
But the fact that they got anyone is fucking historic.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, it lights
they
it up.
They continue to acknowledge the indies.
Yeah, and that's how you got to do it. Now, how about, like, for those of, you know, we went to ROH over the weekend. We went to a Ring of Honor show here in Vegas, which was fun. We had a good main event with Jay Lethal. But, yo, my man Kel doesn't understand the brilliance of Dalton Castle.
Dalton Castle. I can't do it, man. I can't get on a bandwagon.
How? Why
he
not?
Reminds me of the dude from Silence of the Lambs, like the Buffalo Bill dude. Like, he's so creepily flamboyant.
That's brilliant. You don't like good theater, bro. You need to start liking good theater.
I like Bray Wyatt. I like the whole character. That's great theater.
Nah, like, this Dalton Castle cat is for real.
Yo, and he brings it everywhere to the ring. Like, his tags were overly flamboyant.
Yo, the signs. You see they hijacked my sign, right?
They did.
Like, it was on Dalton Castle's Twitter. Like, that's my Instagram photo. Like, I tweeted Dalton Castle and was like, respect the shooter. And he favorited my tweet, but he didn't say that it was my fucking asshole. But,
Yo, that's real. Like, I can't do it. Like, I really can't. Like, he's like Goldust, where he's like weird. Like, you don't know And it's kind of uncomfortable to ask, like, is he a gay character? Is he a straight character? Does he have no sex? Like, I'm just wondering where he fits in the aspect of wrestling. Like, I haven't heard him cut promo or speak, so I don't know what he does.
He does.
He's just weird, and listen, everyone loves him already.
Listen, he does amazing. That's what he does, Kel. You need to get with the goddamn program. Quit hating
and
on
I didn't
shit.
See him wrestle enough in that because it was a triple threat.
You need to watch more
but
TV.
From what I hear, he can go.
Kel, you comment on shit you don't know about, man. You need to
listen, man. I just can't get with it. I can't get with the cat. Like, I don't see it yet. I don't know. I mean, I might change my mind. I can change my mind. I can see him be like, yo, he can wrestle his ass off, and the creepy gimmick doesn't bother me that much. But it's still going to be a creepy-ass gimmick.
But that's what makes it special. That's why nobody fucks with you.
Were you a Goldust fan?
Yes. That's why, but that, like, listen.
Well, there you go.
That's why nobody fucks with you. Like, no, like, nobody.
I don't fuck with Dalton Castle.
Nah, man. Like, you, like I said, you just don't know brilliance when you see it. Like, what's wrong with you?
Listen. Like, only two people I haven't liked, and Dalton Castle, the jury's out. I might like Dalton Castle. I got to see more of him. It's creepy. But besides that, only person I don't like is Dolph Ziggler, and I'm spot on that shit.
You ain't spot on. You an asshole.
Let's talk New Japan before our segment is done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we
so
have
New Japan Climax.
Yeah. Okay. So I got to get this out of the way. G1 Climax started this week. I'm going to be honest, I'm at the AJ Styles match that I haven't had a chance to watch. I've been watching on New Japan World, which is a great deal. Like, $8, you get to watch the entire G1 Climax tournament. That shit used to be way too expensive. But anyway, before the tournament started, they had this press conference with, like, everybody in the tournament. And Michael Elgin had, like, the biggest, most non-fittingest suit in the history of man. He was like a fucking idiot. Yo, I didn't even know, like, you fly all the way out to Japan, get your suit tailored, man.
Nah, yo, he's dressing like T-Mac out there.
What the fuck? If I'm going to Japan, my shit is going to be... If I'm the only American from ROH going to New Japan, I'm going to look dope. That's just all there is to it. Why wouldn't I look dope?
Got
to
get some, like, fly Conor McGregor-style suit going.
So I'm saying, like, look dope. But, like, don't wear your dad's suit. And, like, your dad... Like, if your dad's, like, Gulliver from Gulliver's Travels, like, that shit was huge.
It's like he's on the Usher board.
Yeah, but anyway, G1 Climax started this week. For those who don't know, it's a remarkable round-robin tournament with two blocks of wrestlers featuring some of the best New Japan talent that's out there, and usually some American, like Michael Elgin from ROH. And the winner ends up fighting at Wrestle Kingdom. Between Nakamura, Okada, Kota Ibushi, and AJ Styles, and to a lesser degree, Shibata, who's another amazingly stiff guy who looks like he hurts people, it's weird. He's like an Asian with a hairy chest. It just kind of looks weird. So, but, and he only wears like black trunks. He has like nothing else going on for him, but he's just fun to watch. It'll be a good tournament. Like I said, as it progresses, and I'm sure we're going to be like talking about like some great 5-star matches. But until then, you know, for those of you who don't know, go to NJPW World. Make sure you translate to English. Don't go on there on some Japanese shit and push the wrong button and give up your life.
Yeah. You'll never get back. That's where you got to delete your cookies, delete your history, your scripts, everything.
Yeah, you'll be on some, like, Asian henta porn shit instead of watching wrestling. And you'll be blaming
you get up
us.
With that do it. And get caught, say Andreas sent you there. Yeah. So if your wife walks in and you go from 5-star matches in wrestling to hentai porn, yo, it's not my fault. Andreas said to do it on a podcast.
Yo, Kel, I have a feeling you watched a lot of hentai porn as a kid. Because you like Dragon Ball Z, so I know you...
What did you think I was a kid? Nah, I can't. That shit wasn't readily available. And no, that's weird. I'm good. I keep my cartoon separate from my porn. Thank you very much.
On that note, we need to just go ahead and take a break so we can finish up with our boxing and MMA stuff. A
lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. We've talked a lot as it is.
The people love it.
Hopefully by the time I get off this podcast, Meek Mill and Drake have fought in somebody's backyard.
They're going to kiss and make up. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be back.
One of these motherfuckers different. Demigods is back? Hey, that's fucking awesome. I think I'm missing my marbles. I'm kind of glad I lost them. I see the deep end there. Looks like you're going off it. And no, you squares can't fit inside my Oval Office. Nope. I'm going golfing. Yes. Except instead of that white ball, I'm teeing off your head and it's lights off. Yeah. Butane lighter with a Lysol can. Mask like the guy from Saw at your high school dance. Crank that Zelda boy. You shouldn't do that, though.
clothesline a fag trying to Superman that hoe. Check the rhymes in the flow. For sure. You know what I'm about, bitch. Look the rap, grab the razor, carved out my...
All right, we're back from break. We had a little bit of an extended break because Andres had to have Arby's for the first time in forever.
Shit was delicious. I haven't had Arby's in mad long, so yeah.
But we had to come back real quick because Andres thinks I've lost my damn mind, but I haven't.
Yes,
before we get to boxing and UFC, we got to talk about XXL last night, or when you're listening to this, it was on a Tuesday, decided to have an eye candy segment on their Twitter. Nothing out of the ordinary. They're trying to, you know, drum up interest in their social media.
Get to the point, Kel. Fuck all this fluff shit. Get to the point of what you're doing, what you're saying right now.
Yo, they had a dwarf only eye candy segment on Tuesday night. And Andres is trying to say the dwarfs don't need love too. These girls were sexy. I'll say it. I don't care what you say about me. Judge me. The dwarfs were sexy. Let's go XXL. Kudos to you.
No. Okay, look. Fuck. God damn it, Kel.
Yo, she's sexy. I dare you look at that dwarf and say she's not sexy.
I'm not. First of all, look, I'm not looking. I'm not looking. And it's not because I don't like have anything against dwarves, so don't make it like that, because then you'll have everybody coming at me.
No,
and
not at all.
I made a Gulliver's Travels reference earlier in the show because everybody will think it's mad shade now. But XXL, like, dog, that's not exceptional journalism. If I got to, like, eye candy with dwarves reeks of desperation.
And they, like, were sexy dwarves. It's not like it was just, like, average dwarves for clickbait. The dwarves were mad sexy.
Okay, so here's my question. Cause
yes.
Apparently, you'd be the guy to do this. Who got the assignment at XXL was like, yo, son, I need you to find the finest dwarves you can find. And what? And was dead-ass serious about it.
I'll do it. I'll search Instagram. That's the whole platform for that.
Yo, there's nothing wrong so stupid with right now. I don't even know what the fuck to say.
Yo, the dwarves.
Oh,
anyone,
my
listen,
God.
Go to XXL. It's not that far back. Just hit, like, whatever media, whatever. Scroll down. You'll see the pictures of the dwarves. These dwarf ladies who are dressed nicely, shapely, and look, they are sexy. Yo, there's even, like, they got their own reality show. I mean, come on. You're bugging if you say this dwarf chick isn't sexy.
Yeah, I'm not looking. Like, I'm not clicking that shit. I'm not giving XXL clicks for putting up eye candy dwarves at midnight.
You just gotta click once onto the media
section. I'm not clicking
and
any of that shit. It's yours. Kel, you can have it. Yo, that's your shit.
When you hit... Anyone, hit me up on Twitter when you hear this segment and tell me that these dwarf chicks aren't sexy. I dare you.
No, you can dare them. I mean,
Andreas is a hater. This isn't even a goddamn it, Kel.
This is a
moment.
Goddamn it, because, like, you are falling into the trap. Like, you are falling for what XXL is doing. Because I just don't think the XXL is, like, looking in the goodness of their heart and be like, you know what? There's some really beautiful dwarves out there. So let's
these
put
it women deserve love too. They're not saying that? It didn't come from an honest place?
I don't think it came from an honest place, because why post that shit at midnight?
That's a little sketchy. It but is, if they had the whole day, nothing wrong with it.
Like, in the middle of the Meek and Drake thing, it was like, hey, we want to get clicks, let's put on midgets. And, like, come on, man.
They're not dwarves, midget, there's dwarves.
I know they're different. God, like, listen, like, I don't want to be politically clear. Fuck this conversation. Let's move on. We got some boxing and some MMA to talk about. I can't even talk anymore because Kel's.
You can't, because,
like,
you know you're wrong. Let's talk about Mayweather first. Shit, we're talking boxing. Mayweather always comes first. It's going down. Mayweather, Andre Berto, it looks like. And you were so against it. Past
it's not.
Podcasts.
No, it's not confirmed yet. It's not confirmed yet.
It should be confirmed tomorrow, the day after, sooner or later.
We've been saying that, but, dude, like.
You still think it's going to be Khan?
I still think it's going to be Khan, man. Like. For Floyd Mayweather to fight Andre Berto, it's like, oh my fucking God. That's just, I know it has to do something with hinging on whether it's going to be on pay-per-view or network television. Floyd's fighting for free. Even free people don't want to see Berto. Berto lost to two people that Floyd Mayweather beat up. What? This is a dumb fight. If it happens.
He wants the knockout. And Amir Khan was on record the other day saying he thinks Berto's going to get the fight. And he wants fight number 50.
Khan, you might as well just get out of the paint. Amir Khan,
that's it.
You've wasted
fight Kell Brook, man. Stop being like that.
You've wasted your entire life chasing Floyd Mayweather. You're never gonna get that fight. Just give it up. Just give up the ghost. But all right. So hypothetically speaking, if Floyd Mayweather fights Andre Berto and doesn't knock him out, then what?
Oh, that looks bad. But then it just looks like every other Mayweather fight to the casual fan. So it is what it is.
Nah, he gets shitted on more for this one. It's just. my threshold for bullshit is just, it just, like, that fight just shouldn't happen.
See, we should have started the segment off like this. Look, your threshold.
No, you started the segment off talking about fucking double XL dwarves, and and now we got to talk boxing, and now all I'm thinking about is, like, yo, we just had a segment about double XL posting eye candy dwarves. It just sounds like everything wrong about everything, but.
Let's talk about your boy Triple G then, because glasses, it's saying that you're crazy to think his run is going to continue. Here goes more stuff. This is like the goddamn it Andreas segment.
Nah, that shit doesn't exist, and I don't appreciate you trying to do that shit. Like, you just tried to meat mill the whole conversation with your fallacies, though. Like, you just trying to throw shit under the bus. Not happening. But look, like, we Gennady Golovkin is supposedly booking a fight with David Lemieux, who Oscar De La Hoya was completely against initially, and I know why. You don't want to serve up one of your big names in Canada and let him get destroyed, and then, you know, you ruin the money train. Lemieux draws well in the Bell Center in Canada and wherever he fights in Canada, so keep him away from somebody like Gennady Golovkin who's going to kill him. Like, dude, here's what I tell people. And Shay from Two Dope Boys was with me when we went to shoot Gennady Golovkin at Big Bear. That dude is a savage. And I've been covering boxing for a long time. I'm not wrong about this. Glasses, I'm have to call Glasses Malone, have him back on the show again, because we, like today, we just had a bunch of text messages for a ridiculously long amount of time. He should have been rapping, I should have been writing, but yet we're sitting there texting each other about boxing. And he's just very adamant that Gennady Golovkin is Mike Tyson, and I'm just trying to tell him, like, Mike Tyson didn't get a silver medal in the Olympics. Like, Mike Tyson didn't knock out 20 people in a row. It didn't happen. So, yeah, nobody wants to fight him, man. Like, nobody wants to fight Gennady Golovkin, and I understand why. Ward says he wants to fight him, but I guarantee you that Jay-Z and David Iskowitz over at Roc Nation, they're not going to put Andre out there until he builds up a big enough buzz for that fight.
Yeah, nah, not at all. And, I mean, I think the Kovalev fight pays more. If you're going to fight a heavy puncher, fight Kovalev.
Well, the scary thing about Kovalev is, you know, he's naturally a light heavyweight. And Kovalev's
big. Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, that's a tough fight, but it's going to pay more. If you really are going to put your record on the line and your face on the line, I don't know if Golovkin really sells that well. And we already know Ward doesn't.
Well, yeah, Ward doesn't draw shit. Like, Ward, nobody watches Andre Ward fight. It's unfortunate because he's a great fighter, but it's just the way it is. He's been out of the spotlight for too long. He has to build up his portfolio again. Kovalev fights this weekend in Vegas against Muhammadi in a fight where everybody expects Kovalev to run him over, and it turns into an exhibition where somebody's just going to get knocked out, and it's not going to be Kovalev. And we'll get to see, because this is Kovalev, I believe this is Kovalev's first time ever fighting in Vegas. So we'll get to see if he brings him out. I don't know if Gennady Golovkin is, he's a pretty big draw. He fills up StubHub when he fights there. He fills up, you know, Atlantic City or wherever he's fighting in the East Coast. They're pushing him along well, but
it'd have to be like Staples or something, though. It'd have to be like worth it. And for them, they don't have network television deals like that. So it'd have to be pay-per-view.
Well, I mean, main events, you know, for Kovalev, main events is on HBO. HBO loves Gennady Golovkin. He's going to continue to fight on HBO. They would like that fight to be a pay-per-view fight, because the reality of the situation is once Mayweather walks away, there are no pay-per-view fights unless you're having Canelo fight. And that's it.
Yeah. That is true. I interviewed the other day, which was actually an amazing interview, a couple of the fighters from this weekend. Kovalev spoke the other day in like a little conference call type setting. But I talked to Bernard Hopkins one-on-one the other day, and Hopkins is really interested in the Triple G fight. Like, this winter, he wants his last fight to be Triple G. And if you have Hopkins versus Triple G in L.A. or in New York or wherever it may be, probably Barclays because it's Hopkins, you have that there and you build that audience, that can propel you possibly to pay-per-view status for his next fight. You knock out Hopkins. It gives you a name. It gives you something to sell.
This is a bad move for Bernard Hopkins. He's 50 years old, man.
51.
I don't want to see Bernard Hopkins. Look, I don't want to. But the last time I see Bernard Hopkins in the ring, I don't want him being carried out by six and put into a grave. Because I think Gennady will kill him.
Bernard wants those problems. And he said that's the fight he wants. And as long as it doesn't take until next summer, that's the fight he's gonna get. He said he's not scared of him, man. He wants it. As long as it's at a reasonable weight, you know, Triple G might have to move up a little bit because he's not interested in cutting like that. So if it's 170, 171, it's go time.
Triple G's not that big of a dude. Triple G, you know, like, he eats normally to make 160. So to do 168 or higher is going to be a little stretch for him. But Kovalev already beat up Bernard Hopkins. So why do you want to get beat up again? Whatever. You want to make some money. Like, yo, cut the check. Let him fight. If Gennady kills him, if he dies, he dies. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's Ivan Drago from Rocky IV. If he
that's
dies,
something
he
we got to ask. We got to ask Glasses about that. When Glasses Malone, the next time we talk to him, we got to have him on the show. Golovkin, Hopkins, who are you taking? And Hopkins is going to be the bigger man by like 10 pounds.
Won't matter. He'll still die. And I love Bernard Hopkins. It's just you gotta know when to fold him, and you just don't fight Gennady Golovkin. You chill. Go find somebody else. Like, go beat up Adonis Stevenson. Like, for real, fight Adonis Stevenson. You could beat Adonis Stevenson. I don't think Adonis Stevenson's that good.
No, but he has that knockout power, too. He catches Bernard with the wrong one. It's over.
Yeah, but, you know, like, you watch Adonis fight, and he's not really that good. And he's old. Like, Adonis is 38. So, it's like, you know, you got to get a big fight sooner or later. You keep running from Kovalev, so you got to figure it out. But whatever. Bernard Hopkins, if he wants that fight. Andre Ward says he wants Triple G. Triple G says that he doesn't want to, like, he wants to have it at a catch weight. Ward's people saying no, whatever. I don't know what's going on.
They're all going to have to fight each other sooner or later.
It's going to happen. It's just who's going to be the A side, who's going to call the shots. That's all that really matters. And yep. Andre Ward will never be in a position to call the shots unless he fights a marquee name and beats him. And here's what I want to say. And first of all, we'll talk about this fight in a minute. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. looked like shit this weekend against Marcos Reyes. He looked terrible.
Horrible.
This is who I wish Al Haymon would just say, you know what, screw it, go ahead and do it. Chavez versus Andre Ward will be the best thing to happen to Andre Ward. Beat up a Mexican with a big Mexican fan base and take all their fans and then get your name on the map. Because Chavez's goose is cooked. And Ward.
Bro, he's so trash. He might have to go up to 175.
I don't know what he have to do. He doesn't care. So let Ward beat the I don't care out of him, and then it would help his exposure. He needs to be exposed to a new audience. Ward has it sounds silly, but you have to fight in front of you have to fight a big name Mexican to help at your name. Ask Floyd Mayweather. Why he fights on Cinco de Mayo. So dude, if he fought Chavez, you know, Chavez could cash out, leave, because he's gonna have to retire anyway because he sucks, and just do it.
That wouldn't be a bad move for Chavez. I mean, it's better than getting beat by nobodies.
That's what I'm saying.
For mediocre money. Might as well go in there and get a big fight. Maybe you luck up. Maybe you knock him down once. Maybe it extends your career. Nah, just off of some luckiness, getting a knockdown. Probably won't happen. Get his ass beat, but it is what it is.
Yeah, he gets washed. That's all that happens. He gets absolutely and utterly destroyed by Andre Ward. But again, you know what I'm saying? Boxers in a weird place right now. It's like we got a lot of great fighters. We just got to see how they pare down the matchup. So we shall.
Hey, we got a championship fight, though. We got a championship fight this weekend in UFC.
We do. We got UFC on Fox. TJ Dillashaw, Henan Burrell 2, a fight that we've been waiting a year to see after Burrell got shockingly knocked out by Dillashaw.
Yo, there's no buzz for it, though. It's so weird.
Because we're still hungover from 189. We're still hungover from Conor McGregor, Rory McDonald, like all those wars. I just watched them again the other night. That's still the greatest card in UFC history. So it's going to be hard to get hyped for a fight like that. And it's a good fight.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, the undercard is okay. It's decent.
You got Miesha Tate.
It's really going to be tune in for the main event.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
for casual fans.
Dillashaw Burrell 2 is a fight that everybody should want to see, especially after what happened the first time. We want to see if Dillashaw's for real. Burrell blames a lucky punch. I don't blame a lucky punch. You got your ass whooped for the duration of the fight, so it wasn't anything.
I was going to say, it's the whole damn fight. Which punch was lucky? He hit him with a ton of them.
Yeah, Dillashaw did his best Dominic Cruz impression and beat Henan Burrell. So I'm looking forward to the fight. I want to see who's real and who's fake, kind of like Meek Mill and Drake. But I think it's going to be a hell of a fight. And, I'm not mad at the rest of the card's not horrible. I mean, Miesha Tate and Jessica Eye, that's interesting. To a certain extent, we got to see if Miesha Tate's real. Paul Felder, who's undefeated against Edson Barbosa, you always want to see Barbosa knock somebody out. A spinning heel kick would be great.
But Barbosa also, he gets a little sloppy, so you never know how that's going to go.
Yeah, he is. I mean, the rest of the card is there. Joe Lozon's on there against Fireball Kid, Takanori Gomi. Jim Miller's on the card. Eddie Wineland versus Brian Caraway and Miesha Tate's boo. So it's decent.
Did you
free.
Dismiss Patrick Cummins?
Wait, what? What? Patrick Cummins is on the card?
Isn't he on the card?
Nah, man.
Nah. Oh, I thought he was on earlier.
Nah,
who is that?
Nah,
someone, I was mistaken then.
Yeah, cut it out. Stop trying to bring your boy back. It's Zach Cummins, not Patrick Cummins.
Oh, Zach Cummins. Thank you.
He's on Fight Pass. He's not even on
they
anything.
They showed last name.
Nah. But as a whole, the card is it's a decent card. So it is what it is. You know, one of the things I do want to talk about, though, is Stitch getting fired by the UFC. You heard about this?
Yes. Rough, man. I think you sent me the link when it happened. And I was just like, wow. It's really a staple of the organization just leaving over something stupid.
It's apparently, that's the rumor. From what I've heard, Dana White's not returning any calls. Lorenzo Fertitta hasn't said anything. But the rumor is that Stitch Duran got fired, who's one of the greatest, the great cutmen. He made himself a celebrity, which is impressive just to be a cutman. Was fired for speaking out against the Reebok deal. And the sponsors that he lost. And Duran's, he lost a lot of sponsors. It hurt his pockets. But he didn't say anything crazy. He just said it was hurting my pockets. I don't like the new vest because I can't carry all my equipment. That's really it. If that's the reason he got fired, like, the UFC has made a grave mistake. We already lost Burt. Burt left the company a few months ago for reasons that we still really don't know what happened. And then we
He never really talked about it. He kind of just left it and was like, yo, I'm good.
And now Stitch Duran gets fired apparently over some Reebok stuff. Hopefully there's some more to this story. I just don't want, you know, the Reebok thing to become something that gets a lot of guys axed. Because they're already losing money. They're not making the same money. They're going to be company, man. Nobody's going to speak their mind. You know, I don't like that.
Nah, and that's why, you know what? Cool. If the UFC wants to, you know, become a league and a true organization, and they want to be the NBA or the NFL or the MLB, fine. But now the next progression is these fighters, these people who work, need unions.
Yeah.
Because you're just going to get dogged out if you don't have one. You have to unionize. NFL has one, MLB, every organization has one. And if the UFC is asking to be at that level, then the fighters need to organize and have that same type of camaraderie and stick up for each other. And say, no, you have to pay us this. Yeah. We need these people.
You know,
that's like saying the best ref in the NBA is going to get fired for saying he doesn't like the dress code.
Yeah, that's kind of weak. And I mean, more importantly, with a union, you get things like you can fight for health care. Which a lot of people don't understand. Like, if you're
Hurts the safety. This hurts player. I mean, fighter safety.
Yeah.
The best cut man possible is now fired. So what if I get a cut over my eye?
Well,
look,
I mean,
that Rory McDonald fight. Rory gets out in the second if you can't help him with the cuts and the bloody nose and all this stuff. So you're telling me we're getting the second best for the world's best fighters? We have the second best cut man. Doesn't cut it.
Nah, it's whack. Like I said, you know, there's other cut men. There's decent cut men in the UFC. He's not the only one. He's just the most popular one. A lot of people say he's the greatest. Especially when it comes to wrapping hands and things like that. To get fired over a Reebok deal, it's silly. It's just, I just hope it's not true. And aside from that, I mean, it's the Reebok deal. Like, let's just be honest. Fighters are losing money. That's all it is. Fighters are not able to have their sponsors anymore. Now, don't get me wrong. It cleans up the presentation without having, Dynamic Fastener over everybody's stuff anymore and like, Condom Depot. I mean, that's cool and everything, but the deal just, you got to fight on a tier. Like, if you're coming in as a young fighter, you know, your training camp might break you before you make any money after the fight, especially if you don't get a win bonus. So,
yeah,
I get it. I get why fighters will be upset about it. I just don't want them to feel like they can't speak up. Especially, it's not nothing too inflammatory. It's just I'm losing money. So.
And training camp-wise, they'll survive. It just forces people into bigger gyms. It's honestly what it does. Because you go to bigger gyms now because you don't have to pay anything, really. You get that training all the time. You get to fight these guys in the same gym in the competition. It's not boxing. Like, you're not training by yourself all the damn time and have to fly people out all the time. Like, you can get into a bigger gym, and it might crush some of the smaller gyms and independent things. But, you know, that's the way of the world.
I mean, but you do need, you know, when you're in camp for a fight, you do need one-on-one time. You don't want to have to uproot your life to go somewhere else to join a gym that may not work for you. So some of the guys that are training at, you know, some of these smaller gyms and these smaller teams, it could hurt them. I don't know. We'll see. Because everybody's got to get paid at the end of the day.
And, yep, everybody got to get money. And if their salaries go up and UFC, you know, puts together a good healthcare package and all that stuff, then it's worth it. But it better match. It has to match. It can't just shaft the fighters even more than they were getting before. I think that'll all come to light.
We'll see. We'll see. So before we get out of here, Kel, I got to get your take. Who's winning the Burrell-Dillashaw 2 fight?
I'm going with Burrell. I know after the first one, it's just like, what? Like, he was dominated. I think he's hungry again. It's same thing with Aldo. Aldo, I thought, lost that fire, and I thought Conor could beat him. And I still think Conor could beat him for that same reason. But with Burrell, it's like, okay, he lost that fire. It was a replacement fight. The original opponent backed out. He wasn't as hype. Oh, who is this kid? TJ went from fighting second on, like, the undercard on Fox Sports 1 to the main event. Like, it was literally that crazy. He didn't take him seriously. Cool, you had a letdown. Show who you are. He was one of the most dominant fighters in the UFC. Hadn't lost in, what, 9 years?
Yeah.
Show who you are. And this is his chance. Come back, show it, fight. And I think he wins that fight. And then I think it's him versus Dominic. And that's one hell of a fight.
Well, I think I'm going to go with Dillashaw. I think Dillashaw has his number. It's a tough fight to pick because I don't know which Henry Burrell is going to show up. And, you know, maybe the Dominic Cruz style is going to work again. I have no idea. But I think Dillashaw is for real. You know, he was great on The Ultimate Fighter. He needed to, you know, refine a few things. His striking's gotten a lot better. And I think he takes it. Team Alpha Male, they're fired up. And, you know, he's working with Bang Ludwig. You know, he's making his trips to make sure he gets his hands worked on. So it'll be a hell of a fight. I wouldn't be surprised if Burrell wins. If Henry Burrell wins, I would be absolutely not surprised. But I'm going to go with TJ Dillashaw. I think it may be a decision. I'm not sure. 5 rounds is a long time for these guys to beat each other up. But we'll
see. Yeah, I'll go Burrell. Third round stoppage.
All right, cool. Well, shit, I think we've held these people long enough. We've talked about Meek Mill. We've talked about dwarves. We've talked about fighting.
This title is going to be amazing, by the way.
Yeah, I'm going to come up. For those who don't know and keep asking me what do the titles mean, the title is basically encompassing everything that we talk about. No matter how ridiculous it is, everything that we talk about is in the show, and it's packed into that title. So expect to see something just as ridiculous for the title of this show.
So thanks for joining us. You guys, remember, check our YouTube. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Kel Dansby.
And I'm at Andreas Hale.
So simple. And then the show is at The Corner LSN. Same thing on Instagram. And, yeah, man, we're going to keep pumping out content for you guys. Thank you for your support. Thanks for staying with us all show. We're out until next week.
Peace.
On corners with the foes and the moles. Watch her the store for the rolls. Talking straightforward to hoes. Got uncles that smoking some.